to the thinking of our lesson for the evening. I want us to read in Matthew 22, beginning at verse 17 and going through verse 21. Matthew 22, 17 through 21. And I'd like for you to read along with me as we read in unison. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he saith unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? They say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God's. Let's read the part of that verse that's written in red again. Everybody read it with me. Render therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. I thought that David had an excellent lesson this morning, and the points that he made relative to pride, especially in our nation, was appropriate at this time of the year. I appreciate the two songs that Gary led us in a few minutes ago. Even though we are concerned about our nation, and sometimes we are critical of it, and maybe rightly so, critical of some of the things that are going on, we still need to stop and think about the freedoms that we enjoy. It is appropriate for us to remember those who have given their lives. This morning, as David was talking about Abraham and the great sacrifice that he made with Isaac, the thought ran through my mind, I wonder how many families there are in the congregation here who have a relative that sacrificed a life in order for us to be able to meet and worship as we are this evening. Sometimes we take these things for granted. I know that many of you that are here tonight have given at least some of your years in the past in helping defend our nation to make it possible for us to have these freedoms. And we appreciate what you have done, and we ought not to take that for granted. I decided 2 or 3 weeks ago, since we're in this series of lessons in which we are especially looking at what Jesus said and emphasizing that which is written in red, to show that it is not of a greater level of inspiration than the rest of the Bible, but that if we only had what Jesus said, that we still could know the basic truths that deal with Christianity. That I would do some research into the idea of what he says about the subject of government. One of the things that's most interesting to me in the development of these sermons that I'm using during the summer is that I am studying from a standpoint that I've never really studied before. I don't think I had ever in the past just sat down and said, what did Jesus say about this subject? Limiting myself to what he said, not thinking about the Old Testament, not thinking about the rest of the New Testament, but just thinking about what he said. And you know, I'm finding, and of course we've said this many times before to one another, but I'm finding that when I go to the Bible without any preconceived idea, just simply to try to look at every passage if I can that deals with the subject, and then put those down and begin to look at them and analyze them, that it's a very interesting study. And I'm persuaded that that may be the way we need to study every subject. What did Jesus say about government? I want to share with you some thoughts tonight, and you may want to follow along in your Bible. You may just want to listen as I read from the Word of God, things that Jesus said. I want to deal with two basic areas of thought. Seems to me that what he says really deals with these two areas. Number one, the principles of civil government. And number two, our attitude toward the courts, and especially toward trials in the courts. As we look at what Jesus said about civil government, I want us to start with John 19. In John 19, verses 10 and 11, John 19, verses 10 and 11, Pilate first says to Jesus, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Here is a man who seemingly was prideful in the wrong sense of the power that he had in government. Verse 11, Jesus answered, notice this particularly, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. I want you to especially notice the part of the statement where Jesus said, Herod, you wouldn't have any power at all unless it is given thee from above. Jesus says the power that exists in civil government comes directly from above. You and I know that. We have looked at it in other parts of the Bible. We have seen it taught in other ways. We have even said that men like Saddam Hussein are ministers of God, even though sometimes we have a hard time understanding how God is going to use them. But Jesus sets forth a very basic principle here of civil government. He says that authority comes directly from God. I believe that's extremely important. In fact, it is important for us to understand that there are different institutions that exist on this earth. There is the church, of course. There is the home. And there is civil government. And in each of these cases, I believe you will find the Bible teaches that the authority comes directly from God to each of the three. Authority does not come through the church and then to civil government. Neither does it come to civil government and from that through the church, or to the church. That's one of the points that we'll notice in just a moment that we talk about when we talk about separation of church and state. And though this is another subject for another time, it's also interesting and very important that we understand that authority in the family doesn't come through the church or through the government. Oh, there may be laws that affect what goes on in the families, but what is right or wrong has to do with God's law for the family. What is right or wrong has to do with God's law for the church, and what is right or wrong has to do with God's law for civil government. And so Jesus says that authority in civil government is from God. Next, turn to Matthew 28:18, a very familiar passage. And Jesus says, as he begins to give the Great Commission, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And while you're looking at that, let me just remind you of a passage, and you may not want to take the time to turn to it. But you remember in Matthew 10:28, Jesus said, don't be afraid of the one who can kill your body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him that is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Now, if you look at these passages, and there may be others, you find the principle dealing with civil government that God is still above civil government, that Christ is still above civil government. He said, all authority hath been given to me in heaven and in earth. If laws are passed on this earth that violate the laws that are present in heaven, heaven is of a higher nature. And even if our government at any level here passes a law that conflicts with the law that God has already set in effect, we need to understand that God's law is higher than man's law. Now, sometimes that principle is abused. And I'm persuaded that there are things done even in our nation in the name of that principle that God never intended to be done. However, we do need to understand that not only is God the one who gives the authority, but God is still in authority. And his authority is higher than any authority that we have on this earth. And as long as we keep that in mind, it is helpful to us in making decisions. I find Jesus also teaching in passages like Mark 14:48-49, that he believed that the government had the right to enforce the laws that were rightfully in existence. Jesus answered and said unto them, Mark 14:48, are ye come out as against a thief with swords and with staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and ye took me not, but the scriptures must be fulfilled. Now keep that in mind as I share with you something that he says in John 18:23. He said, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil, but if well, why smitest thou me? There are some other passages that say almost the same thing or cast some light on this that indicate to us that Jesus was saying that he recognized that those in authority had the right to enforce the laws. He said, if I have done evil, then come against me or enforce the law. But if I have not done evil, then why would you be attempting to enforce the law or a law why would you smite me? And I find Jesus in these passages saying that the government has the right to enforce the law. I believe the Bible teaches that. If there is authority, that authority has the right to be enforced in the right way, but it has the right to be enforced. If there are laws, those laws have the right to be enforced. And let me just say in passing here, it is my sincere opinion that our biggest problem in America is not the laws that we have, but the rightful enforcement of those laws. I believe that most of the time we have the laws that we basically need if we would enforce those laws in the right way. Now let's go back to the text that we read earlier. And we find Jesus, after having seen that he sees the right for law to be enforced, emphasizing that there is a separation between religion and civil government. He said, "Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and unto God's that which is God's." It would not be appropriate for us to let our worship services become a forum for political candidates. I do not believe that God would be pleased with that. But neither would it be appropriate for us to try to take the church and become the enforcer, even through our legislators, of the laws of the land. God did not intend for the church to enforce the laws of the land. And in fact, we believe that's one of the problems with the Vatican, which is not only religious, but which is recognized even by our government as a government itself. When that which is religious gets in the seat of enforcing the laws and making the laws, we believe there are problems. And so Jesus said, "Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and unto God's that which is God's." We're in the midst of an election here in our own area. There are numbers of candidates, I don't know how many, maybe 75 or so in all. Certainly we need, as Christian citizens, to take a look at those candidates. And I certainly believe it is appropriate for us to encourage one another to become involved as citizens. But to become involved in an active way in supporting a certain candidate or pushing a certain idea as a part of the church, I believe would violate the principle that Jesus has given us in this passage. There are many things that we can do as citizens that are not of a religious nature. And there are many things that we do in religion, in worship, in service to God as a part of the church, that would not be appropriate to be used to force something in the political realm. Jesus said, "Keep them separated. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and unto God that which is God's." I believe Jesus also shows us the principle of paying taxes. There are not many uglier subjects than this that can be discussed. And certainly we may have questions about the use of taxes. We may have questions about the level of taxes. But at least Jesus teaches in passages like Matthew 17 that taxes were to be paid. This is where he had Peter go and take the fish and take the money out of the fish's mouth. He said, "Thou shalt find a piece of money, that take and give unto thee, unto them, for thee and me." Jesus seems to teach the principle that the government which has the right to exist has the right to be supported. And though we might have questions about particulars in that area of thought, Jesus addresses it as a principle of supporting our government. I think Jesus also teaches at the time that he was arrested after coming out of the Garden of Gethsemane that we ought not to try to take the government into our own hands. And sometimes that seems to be done today. And problems exist. You remember in John 18, 8 through 11, as Jesus came out of the Garden of Gethsemane, that he was arrested by those who had come to take him. And Peter took out a sword and cut off the right ear of the servant's high priest by the name, or servant's priest, by the name of Malchus. And then Jesus said to Peter, "Put thy sword into thy sheath." Now, if we had time, I'd like to discuss another angle or two on this. Evidently, Jesus had not told Peter that it was wrong to carry a sword. There was some reason for his carrying the sword. And this, along with other passages, causes me to believe that Jesus teaches the principle of self-defense. But on this particular occasion, because of all that was involved and the law needing to take its course according to God's will, he said to Peter, don't take the law into your own hands. You put up your sword. Don't fight against this. He humbled himself, as we recognize from the teaching of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and references in other places to this. He humbled himself to those who arrested him and told Peter not to take the law into his own hands. He was even silent on some occasions as he was asked questions, but he always seemed to teach the principle that the law has the right to exist. It is an authority that comes from God. God is still above it, but it is an authority that needs to be respected. Now, having looked at those basic principles, let's look for just a moment at what Jesus says about the courts. He teaches in Matthew 5, 25 and 26, that we ought to try to avoid being involved in trials, if at all possible. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be put into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. And then in Luke 12, 57 through 59, yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? When thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate, as thou art in the way, give diligence that thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he hail thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast thee into prison. I tell thee, thou shalt not depart thence till thou hast paid the very last mite. Jesus is teaching the principle here that his followers ought to try to settle their disagreements among themselves and to avoid being in the courts of the land as much as possible. I believe that is a good principle even today. Jesus, in many of the passages in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, shows us that we ought to have respect. I think his silence that we see in passages after passages, when he would be asked a question and maybe he knew that to answer it would create a problem, that he just didn't answer anything on those occasions, shows that he had respect for those that were in authority. And every principle that we've studied so far would emphasize that. But at the same time, Jesus teaches that one ought to stand his ground, or at least stand up for the truth, when it comes to be involved in a trial. For example, in John the 18th chapter, beginning at verse 33, John 18, 33, Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it of me? Not only did he answer questions, but he wanted to know the background of it. Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation, the chief priest, have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered. Now here's the idea of him standing up for what he believed, what he knew the truth to be, and putting the truth before the courts. Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. And yet there was at least one occasion when Jesus referred to one of the rulers as a fox. This was Herod, who probably was one who fit the description. And in Luke 13, 32, he said unto them, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Jesus said, here's the truth. You tell that fox the truth. Jesus stood his ground. He stood up for the truth, although he did it with respect. And I believe there is also in connection with this a principle that Jesus teaches in connection with his apostles, that if we will stand for the truth and always try to tell the truth, and when we think it best not to say anything, learn to be silent in respect, that things will work out in the right way. When Jesus sent his apostles out, as recorded in Matthew 10, verses 18 through 20, he said, ye shall be brought before governors. Now, this is dealing with civil government. You shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in the same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Now, I hasten to make the point that we do not have the miraculous approach to speaking today that he had then. God doesn't speak through us in the same way that he spoke then. But, folks, the principle is there. And I believe Jesus is saying that if we will always have the right attitude toward civil government and always have the right attitude toward God and his position and toward the truth, study God's word, know the truth, pray for wisdom, and use it, that we will be able to stand for the truth no matter what happens as far as the government is concerned. You and I have pretty well been shielded in our nation, and we may not really appreciate how important that statement is. The time may not be far in the future when it will be more difficult for us to uphold the laws of the land and the laws of God at the same time. But I believe that whatever happens in the future, that if we will understand these basic principles that Jesus has given to us concerning our relationship to civil government, to put it in proper perspective with God, and yet to have the right kind of respect for authority, and especially the right kind of respect for truth, do our very best to solve problems at the lowest level of solving that they can be, that we can live in this country and serve God faithfully as Christians. And perhaps we need to be sure that we don't take our freedoms for granted. Jesus was not silent on the subject of civil government, but gives us some very basic principles that can be helpful to us. And I think the bottom line of it is that Jesus would emphasize that we need to be interested in what's happening about us. We ought not to bury our heads in the sand. We certainly do not want to try to force things through the church upon civil government, but certainly as citizens, we need to be interested and do everything that we can to help ensure that not only on the 222nd birthday of our country yesterday, but however many years time continues, that our children, grandchildren, and on down the line will have the same right that you and I have tonight to be free to worship God in a setting like this. We ought not take that for granted. And let's switch that thought, general thought, for just a moment into another area. We've been talking about being ready if we were taken into a trial. Be ready to teach and stand for the truth. I hope to be able to finish the rest of my life and never go before a judge in a trial. I've been able to do that so far. But one of these days, I will stand before a judge. I will stand before God, the great judge, in the day of judgment. And that's really what matters. And on that occasion, I'll stand before him with truth as the standard. And I'll stand before him with everything in my life open unto him with whom we have to do. Think about something. How would you like to go to a court in our land tomorrow and have your entire life laid open? I'm not for sure there's one of us that would really want that. But one of these days we'll stand before the great God, a God of justice, a God of mercy, and we'll have everything laid open before him, and we'll be judged according to the way we've lived in this life. And that's more important than anything that we've discussed tonight. And if we'll do our part to be ready for that appearance before the judge, we'll be better ready for anything that happens in this life. The best thing you can do is be a Christian. If you're not, if you need to be baptized into Christ, if you need to come home, do so as together we stand and sing.
Make whole again your empty, wasted years. He will restore, and your iniquities.